You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson alongside Eric Havis Reitinger, and we welcome you to another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. Hey, E, I got to tell you, Week 8 was exciting. We're at the middle point of the year, and I got to tell you, races are heating up in some big divisions.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Season's heating up. It's about to start seeing who's going to run away with the divisions, who's going to run away with the seedings, and also see what teams are going to make a surprise run at the playoffs. So definitely going to be getting interesting.
You're right about that, Eric. When the weather gets a little colder and we hit daylight savings time, things indeed always get interesting. Coming up on this edition of NFL Wrap-Up, we recap week eight's most important games, and we preview most important games for week nine. Plus, I have an interview, and also Eric has his fantasy top 10 fantasy players to watch out for week nine, in the National Football League. But you know what? Before we get into all of those things, we got to get into the most important games from week eight in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night showdown between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. NFC South heating up. Falcons pull off the victory 25-17.
Minnesota Vikings were on the road and traveled to Lambeau to take on the Packers, and came away with a pretty tough win. But a win is a win. They came away with a 28-22 victory.
A great showdown in the NFC West between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks ran away with it early, but the 49ers would come back, but it was not enough. Seahawks hold on the win 37-27.
Pittsburgh Steelers traveled to Baltimore, another road game, another road warrior. They came away with the win over the Ravens, 28-24.
Tua Tagovailoa dazzled and amazed college football fans at Alabama, and he had his first career NFL start, and he was solid, and also give credit to Miami's defense as the Dolphins beat the Los Angeles Rams 28-17.
The New Orleans Saints traveled to Chicago and came away with a rough win. Coming from behind, came away with a 3-point win over the Chicago Bears. Saints win 26-23.
The NFC East is currently the NFC Least. The Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles battled on Sunday night. The Eagles had their way with the boys. Philly would beat Dallas 23-9.
And once again, another road warrior. Tampa Bay traveled to New York, and New York put together a pretty good game, a pretty competitive game, but the Buccaneers just pulled away at the end with the help of Tom Brady to a 25-23 victory.
All right, and that's me and Eric recapping Week 8's most important games in the National Football League. All right, let's jump right to it with our top three storylines. My first storyline is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. What a difference a year makes. The 49ers were on top of the world, not just in the NFC, but were among the premier teams in the NFL. Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Kyle Juszczyk. Of course, we can't forget about Richard Sherman, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, that great defense, and of course, their all-world tight end, George Kittle. Man, what a difference a year makes. 2020 has been horrible for all of us, but it's been unkind to the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have so many injuries. Jimmy G, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, George Kittle is injured, Richard Sherman, as we're speaking right now, is currently on IR, and then now we have Kendrick Bourne, wide receiver, tested positive for COVID-19. The 49ers were destined to come out of the NFC this year. It doesn't look like that right now. And they've got a lot of work to do in the city by the bay. The 49ers are a proud franchise. They're a team that they're among the cream of the crop in the National Football League. And they got to get it turned around because the NFC West in the best division in the league. You've got Seattle, you've got the L.A. Rams, and then you've got Arizona. There's so much talent in that division. The 49ers cannot afford to lose in this division. They've got the Saints coming up. They've got the Rams. They got to play the Seahawks again and the Cardinals. So it's some tough challenges in between. So what the 49ers do now with Jimmy G gone, Nick Mullins is going to be the quarterback, and George Kittle being out, man, it's no telling what's going to happen with San Francisco. Stay tuned. My next storyline is going to be Tua Tagovailoa. Tua There's a new era in Miami. The Miami Dolphins have not been the same at the quarterback position since Dan Marino retired. We talk about since Dan Marino, some of the Dolphins quarterbacks, Jay Fiedler, Ray Lucas, Chad Pennington, Brock Heward, I mean, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, the list goes on and on and on. They've not been the same since Marino, but could Tua be the one to take the Dolphins into the next 10, 15, even 20 years, pending his health? He had a solid performance going up against the L.A. Rams. I had the Rams beating the Dolphins. I said, man, look, Tua, I'm glad you got your first start, but let's just be real. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and the crew, they're going to carve him up. Well, guess what? It was the other way around and then some. Could this be the start of something new in Miami? I hope so, because it's always fun to see the Dolphins winning. For two decades, the 80s and the 90s, we saw Miami peak of their powers in the AFC with Dan Marino. They haven't been the same since then, especially at that quarterback position. But Tua could make the difference down in the MIA. And for my last storyline, the NFC East, or should I say the NFC Least, Dallas, Philadelphia, Washington, and the New York Giants. The NFC East of the 80s and the 90s, man, was simply fantastic. You had all of the teams were competitive. You had hard-hitting games. You had smash-mouth football. It was everything that you asked for and so much more. Well, guess what? We're not getting what we're bargaining for so far this year. Dallas is as a losing team. Philly is just right at 500. Washington's below 500. The Giants, well, you know their situation, but somehow, some way, we could have a division champion at 5-11, 4-12. It's just weird how this thing is going to work out. I don't know. The NFC East is really for the taking. People are saying with Dallas and Mike McCarthy, and they've fallen below expectations. However, Mike McCarthy can still hang his head high just a tad bit, and so does Jerry Jones as well. And we can't forget about Washington. We can't forget about Washington, and the Giants still have a chance. It's just weird how the NFC East is just what it's become, a shell of its former self. But nevertheless, we could still have a champion, as I said before, and maybe at 4-12 or 5-11, however this thing goes. And those are my top three storylines from Week 8.
My top three storylines coming out of Week 8 going into this week is first I'm going to go Kawan Alexander. It's a trade that the Saints did for a linebacker from the 49ers. And, man, I think he's a hybrid. I mean, he could tackle very well. He gets to the ball quickly, don't miss tackles, causes turnovers. You know, he's a 2017 Pro Bowler. He was all rookie in 2015 for Tampa Bay. I mean, I like what the Saints got here. I know he has a little problem with his ankle, but and we could get him back healthy and on the field. I don't know if he's going to play this week, but him next to DeMario Davis, that's a great combination right there. It almost gives me the thoughts of when we traded for Jonathan Velma, and we've seen how that turned out. And I felt good about that trade, just like I feel about this one. He's a young stud at linebacker, and I really think he's going to boost our defense. I really like him. I just hope he can come healthy and play well. But big pickup for the Saints. I really like it. My second storyline, I'm going to talk about Daniel Jones. Wow, you know, they go with him. They run. He pretty much run Eli Manning out. That, you know, Eli didn't want to sit as second fiddle. He didn't want to be a backup, so, you know, he left. And I tell you, he's got some athleticism. He can run with the football pretty well. But what I've seen in his last game, on Monday night, he overthrew a lot of balls, and these receivers were open. I'm talking by 5 yards. And in the NFL, 2 yards, you're open. 5 yards and overthrew them. One, he did a back shoulder throw that would have been probably 15-yard gain and put him in the red zone. Ball went straight out of bounds, you know, and it's like, man, those type of plays are the reason I think they lost. You know, they lost by 2 points on Monday night against the Bucks, and he's got to make those throws. You know, you don't run a legend like Eli out and put this Daniel Jones guy in and he do this. He's going to have to figure this out. It's just ridiculous. I watched him. You know, at times he looked okay, but, I mean, I don't know if he was just off that night, but he overthrew some balls, underthrew balls. It looked horrible, and makes you think if the Giants get, you know, top one, top two, three picks in this draft, if Trevor Lawrence is not there, would he go Justin Fields? Who knows where they're going to go, but I don't think Daniel Jones is the answer. He's got a lot of work to do. And I know the team's not that good, but when you got open receivers like that, you can't overthrow them or underthrow them. You got to give them a chance for the football. I mean, he badly overthrew some receivers. So hopefully he can get that back together and make believers out of us. But as of right now, man, I don't see it. My last storyline, I'm going Alvin Kamara. What a season he is having. I put him up there in a NFL MVP talks. He's on pace to set a single season yardage record. I mean, he's almost over 1,000 yards already. He's got over 500 yards receiving right now, like 522 yards receiving. He's got well over 300 yards rushing. He's got 7 total touchdowns. And every week, he's making big plays every week. I mean, he caught that pass last week against Chicago down the middle for like maybe 6 yards and broke it to a 50-yard gain. That's 44 more yards than it should have been. He's quick, fast, good vision, good hands, good catching. He's even blocking pretty well. He's a total package. Keep him healthy, and I think you're going to see some records fall this year. I think he's have 1,000 yards receiving. He might clip 1,000 yards rushing, too. He might be the third man to ever do that. He'll be the fourth to do it. 3 have done it already. But, man, I like what he's doing. Keep him healthy, keep him going, and let's get some more players back like Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas, and I think his numbers are going to be even better because they don't just focalize on him every play. If you got Michael Thomas out there as well, you're going to have to split up the coverages and find out how you're going to stop Alvin Kamara because no one has done it yet this year. Hopefully he stays healthy, keeps doing what he's doing, and like I said, I think he's going to set the single-season yardage record by running back. So that's my top 3 storylines.
Eric, you're right about that. Alvin Kamara definitely needs to be in the MVP talk. I already know he's going to be in the talk for the Offensive Player of the Year, but definitely needs to be in the MVP talk. As for Daniel Jones, we talk about the Jets having their quarterback issues. The Giants are not too far behind either. All right, so a great job as always. Those are our top 3 storylines from Week 8. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with David Harris, and he is the co-host of the Locked on Bucks podcast and a writer for Bucks Nation, which is SB Nation's blog dedicated to Tampa Bay Buccaneers content. He's Eric Habis Reitinger, and I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Picture your return to the mountains you love. Skiing and riding Vail's legendary backbowls. Whistler Blackcomb's inspiring high alpine terrain. The vibrant energy of Breck's mountain town. And losing yourself in Park City's endless exploration. No matter which mountain you call home, with Epic Pass, all of our world-class resorts are yours to explore. Incredible value from one day to every day. Get inspired at epicpass.com.
On a recent episode of the Paychex Business Series podcast, host Gene Marks talks with Mark Cuban about the challenges and opportunities facing small businesses. Listen to this and other great episodes as business owners and industry experts share their take on innovation, the road to recovery, and more at paychex.com/business series.
CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
Introducing TD Ameritrade's newest trading platform, Thinkorswim Web. It has all the essential tools and trade strategies in a streamlined interface. No download necessary. Thinkorswim Web. Trading streamlined. Visit TDAmeritrade.com/thinkorswimweb to get started.
First down and goal. Ends up being a 9-yard penalty. Brady throw it for Evans in his neighborhood. Got it. Touchdown. No player in the NFL has been targeted in the end zone more than Mike Evans over his career. Add another one to the list. Tampa the lead. And Brady retakes the touchdown pass lead over Drew Brees as well.
This ball, look at him. He sees the ball in the air, and he has to dig and dive. Tom Brady's been talking about how good Mike Evans is, and he felt responsible for not getting him more balls so far this season. He knows he makes plays whenever he gives them a chance. He had one-on-one.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of Monday Night Football, ESPN, and the National Football League. And you heard it. That was Tom Brady throwing a touchdown pass to one of his key receivers on offense, Mike Evans. And I have a gentleman that covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to recap the Bucs win over the Giants on Monday Night Football and look ahead to a grudge match against a future Hall of Fame quarterback in part two of their rivalry. We want to welcome to the program, he's the co-host of the Locked On Bucs podcast, and also a writer for Bucs Nation, which is SB Nation's blog dedicated to Tampa Bay Buccaneers content, Mr. David Harrison. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm well and yourself, man. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So you heard the audio. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the New York Giants on Monday night. We're going to get into Tom Brady and all of those things in just a moment. But, David, the Bucs got off to a very slow start in the first half, but they got it going as the game progressed. They were able to gel and get things going and get things together. Tell me, in your opinion, what were the keys to victory for the Bucs over the Giants?
Really, it's just about perseverance, and that's anything. You know, anytime an NFL team faces adversity on the field, that's what it's going to boil down to is just relying on each other, having confidence in each other, the players. Understand the coaches are watching everything and taking all their, you know, their input into account and going to make the key adjustments that they need to make in order to put the players in position to be successful and just keep plugging away at the game plan and keep trusting in the game plan, doing your part, doing your job, and trusting that everything's going to come together. And that's really what happened on Monday night there for the Buccaneers. Came out, like you said, in that first half, really kind of sluggish, almost looked like they didn't really have a lot of juice coming into that primetime matchup. And you wonder if weather, if the absence of fans maybe played a part into that. Then as the game kind of continued to go, they just kept plugging away and just doing little things here, doing little things there, and then just being ready to make the play, especially on those two Daniel Jones interceptions. When the opportunity was there to be made, those guys stepped up and made those plays, and those two plays specifically obviously are key to that victory as well as some of those other plays like that Mike Evans touchdown.
I want to get now into the Bucs offense, David, because, again, Tom Brady, as you said, he was able to find his stride and able to get going in the second half. Running game has been – we're going to get more into Tom and the receivers in just a moment, but I want to get into another key component of their offense is the running game. We've seen the combination of Leonard Fournette and Rojo Ronald Jones. Give me your take on how the running game has performed so far in this season.
Yeah, I mean, there's moments where you see the running game really kind of take off and really kind of take over the game and really become something that the Buccaneers can ride and the Buccaneers offense can rely on to take some of that pressure off of Tom Brady, especially as these receivers get healthy or, you know, try to get healthy. But then at other times you kind of see them kind of bogged down a little bit and really not be too effective. You know, it's kind of a ride the hot hand type of thing when they're both healthy. In the three games that Leonard Fournette really wasn't able to play in, whether he was active or not, you saw Ronald Jones rip off three straight 100-yard rushing games. And that kind of gave a little bit of a clue that maybe the Buccaneers were going to lean on Rojo a little bit more. But then as Leonard Fournette has come back the last 2 weeks healthy, you see that they've gone to him. He's out-touched Ronald Jones in the last two games. And the Buccaneers running game just they kind of lack a little bit of that pop. But you have to give a little bit of time for a guy like Leonard Fournette to get into the system, get used to what they're doing, get comfortable with it, because as soon as he got here to the Buccaneers, he got hurt almost immediately, missed some time. So he's now just kind of coming back, and we'll really kind of see how they balance the two out, because with Ronald Jones' athleticism and speed, his ability to find holes, and then Leonard Fournette's ability to punish defenders and actually underrated ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, it's definitely a duo the Buccaneers are looking to rely on as they get through November into December and then hopefully the playoffs.
Definitely so. You know, when we're marching into we're in November now, and the running game is definitely going to have to step up. I'm looking at the stats in the Giants game. Fournette had 15 carries for 52 yards, and then Rojo, Ronald had 7 carries for 23 yards. So now the running game. Now let's talk about the receivers. Mike Evans, Monday night, 5 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Also, Jaden Mickens and Scotty Miller did his part. But Rob Gronkowski, people, David, have been waiting for Gronk to finally click. In the last several games, Brady and Gronk have finally got – they finally had their chemistry going again like they had in New England. Give me your take on Gronk and his performance Monday night and what do you have plans for him going forward?
You know, I mean, I think Rob Gronkowski's game kind of speaks for itself. And he's the player he's always been, and he's going to do the things that he's always done. It was just a matter of him getting into the system again, breaking that rust, taking that year off. He talked about it himself, that his body felt probably the best it has in a really long time. And you know that he's had that injury history. So taking that year off and allowing his body to really fully heal was definitely important. But at the same time, you're still talking about a guy who missed a year of football, missed a year away from Tom Brady. They both come back and reunite. And that's fantastic, but there's no training, or there's a truncated training camp, no preseason. So really, as you kick off the year, week one in New Orleans, and when the two of them are, one, getting real real hands-on application of the offense together for the first time, they're having to reconnect to each other after missing, like I said, the last year, and then Rob just getting back into football shape and getting back used to running the route, you know, throwing down the blocks, doing everything that he's got to do as an NFL tight end. And then, like you said, it kind of took a little bit of a runway, but then over the past few years,
hello, David, are you still there? All right, he got off. Well, like what he was saying before, you know, I asked him about Rob Gronkowski and everything that has happened with him. Again, it's taken some time. It's taken a lot of time. And, you know, again, as he mentioned, there was no preseason due to the current circumstances with COVID. And so they had to find their way on the offensive side. And definitely they're trying to get it together. They're trying to get things together, and looks like that Gronk and they're putting the pieces together and try to make things happen. Also, some great wide receivers that they have on their team, with the likes of Scotty Miller, also Jaden Mickens has played very well throughout the course of this season thus far. Brady seems to be getting it together. We're going to get David back on in just one moment. So certainly, what can you say? Somebody that is obviously someone that's capable of getting the job done. I'm also going to ask him more about Bruce Arians and what's going to take place from here on out. And, you know, the Tampa Bay is definitely getting their chops together. They're definitely
You're a small business. You work hard, but you don't have a huge marketing budget, and you're always looking for new ways to find customers. Have you ever thought about audio? You're listening to an ad right now, aren't you? Introducing AudioGo, a new online platform that lets you run ads on the top podcast and digital radio stations. Don't have a radio ad? We'll make one for you. Sign up for free today at audiogo.com. AudioGo, audio advertising made simple.
Getting where they need to be. Let me try to get David back on as far as the offense is concerned. David, are you back with us?
Hey, Ed, I'm back.
Okay, no problem. Sorry to finish what you were saying about Gronk.
Yeah, just seeing the time that it took for him to, you know, especially with the absence of the training camp and the off-season workout schedule, to get back up to speed. And that's what you're really seeing right now is given that time to reconnect with Brady, learn the offense with him as Brady is also learning the offense, and then get back into just NFL form. So I think that's really what you're seeing out of Rob Gronkowski, what really everybody kind of expected to it. And the plan all along was for Rob to kind of play the number two tight end role to O.J. Howard. But then O.J. Howard coming or missing or having to miss the rest of the season with that ruptured Achilles really kind of threw a wrench into that whole thing. you can kind of see where the Buccaneers' offense is going to go with this two tight end system, with 12 personnel being their base package. And now they're kind of going to more three receiver sets, four receiver sets, which I think we'll see even more with the arrival of AB.
I want to stay with receivers for a moment. So now Tampa Bay's got Rob Gronkowski. They've got Mike Evans. Also, Jaden Mickens has played nicely. And Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson have stepped up as well. As this interview was airing, David, Antonio Brown has been cleared. He's practicing as we speak, and he's a full go for Sunday's game against the Saints. Tell me what's the status with Antonio and his cohesiveness with his receivers, as well as, of course, we know he has he's pretty tight with Tom, but also how's he adapting to Bruce Arians' system?
I mean, he knows Bruce Arians' system pretty well from his time in Pittsburgh, and the issue or the concerns, I guess, if there are any, really aren't going to be about whether or not Antonio can get with the scheme or the language or anything like that. Just it's the concerns that everybody else has, right? Is AB going to show up, or is Antonio Brown going to show up? Are the off-season problems going to reemerge? You know, he still has some pending accusations or charges coming up, and that's something that the legal process is going to have to deal with, and the team is going to have to respond in kind to what the legal process does. So those are all things that they're going to have to worry about on the tail end. What you know about Antonio Brown is what everybody else says about Antonio Brown, whether it comes from Pittsburgh, you know, his short time there in, with the Raiders in Oakland, and then even with the New England Patriots, that he's a hard worker, he's a passionate guy who wants to win to be the best. And what he's walking into is a wide receiver group with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, and all those guys. They just want to win. You know, a lot is being said about Mike Evans. He's got a 1,000-yard season streak going on right now. Every single year in his career, he's had 1,000 yards receiving. Doesn't look like it's probably going to happen this year. But Mike Evans will tell you himself, he doesn't care about the 1,000-yard streak as long as the team wins. Mike Evans has never played a playoff game in the National Football League. That's what he wants season to do it, and he'll happily do it. And that's the room that AB is walking into. So as long as AB walks in and is part of that program, which I don't believe that Tom Brady would have rallied for him. I don't think Bruce Arians would have agreed to bring him on board if that wasn't the AB they were expecting to get. Now, the question is the AB they're expecting going to be the one that shows up?
Always a mystery with Antonio Brown. Stay tuned for that. And speaking of staying tuned, a lot of teams have stayed tuned to Tampa Bay's defense. Currently, they're among the best in the National Football League. You've got Antoine Winfield. Devin White has been a stud on the defensive side. Jason Pierre-Paul is an experienced guy bringing that Super Bowl experience from the New York Giants. Also, you've got a Levante David and a Shaquille Barrett, and also Ndamukong Suh. And so Tampa Bay's defense has really come on strong since week one. Just give me your take on the Bucs defense and what's the outlook on them going forward.
I think when you look at the Buccaneers defense, you see an incredibly young and incredibly talented group. That still looks like an incredibly young but incredibly talented group every once in a while. And that's something that coming out of that game against the Giants, you know, a lot of people talk about Jamel Dean biting on double moves, falling behind Darius Slayton a lot on a lot of those routes. And, you know, if Daniel Jones could have taken advantage of some of that space that Slayton was able to get on Jamel Dean, then it could have been a completely different game, a completely different outcome. That's just kind of part of the youth of it. You know, Jamel Dean is an incredibly athletic, incredibly fast, and incredibly aggressive. Those are some of the things that make him fit Todd Bowles' system so well, and it's part of the things that made him so successful, whether it's on the stat sheet, on the field, or in the PFF grade room. Jamel Dean has kind of come out smelling like roses more often than not. He went this week from playing about 35 to 47 or so snaps per game to playing 74 snaps, and that's an incredible jump. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like it was basically to match speed with Darius Slayton out there. And overall, it worked. I mean, they came out with a win. Darius Slayton didn't, you know, have a killer game, didn't go off for two or three touchdowns. So at the end of the day, you have to say it worked. It worked. However, when you go back and look at the film, you still see some of that youth, some of that inexperience come out with that athleticism. And that's really what they're working on, and what Todd Bowles is doing is trying to accelerate the growth and maturation of that young defense, while some of the more experienced guys like Levante David and Dominican too continue to hold it down and anchor the rest of the defense.
Well, speaking of you mentioned about Ndamukong Suh and the rest of those guys anchoring the defense, Tom Brady, he's anchored the offense for Tampa Bay. When the end of the season happened and we knew the Brady and Belichick relationship that was over with in New England after 20 seasons of being up in Foxborough, Super Bowls and AFC championships and just a list of accomplishments, Brady puts himself out on the market for free agency. There were a couple of teams that he was interested in, the Chargers, the Saints, which we'll get to in a moment, but he lands on the Gulf Coast in Tampa. What was your reaction? This is a two-part question, David. What was your reaction when you found out that Tom was headed to Tampa? And then the second question is, what were your expectations of him?
So when we first started hearing about the news that Tom Brady might actually leave New England, I think I was like a lot of people, especially in January, maybe early February, didn't really believe it, didn't really think that there would be an NFL reality where Tom Brady wasn't a Patriot and playing with Bill Belichick as the head coach. But then as we got further into, the end of winter and kind of nearing the beginning of spring, and you really kind of started believing that this could actually be something in March where Tom Brady would be playing for a new team, you looked around, and and everybody was trying to guess kind of the priorities. Like, did he want to live in California where, the modeling scene is a lot better for his wife? Or, what were their primary motivations and what was Tom's primary motivations? And if you follow Tom Brady through his career, whether go back to college in Michigan or during his time in the NFL with the Patriots, Tom Brady's focused to win as many games as he could, to win as many championships as he could, and to prove everybody who doubted him wrong, whether it be the point in Michigan started another guy over him, whether it be everybody that passed on him in the NFL draft that resulted in him getting drafted as late as he did, and whether it be the people who left him sitting on the bench until an injury kind of forced him into the spotlight. Whatever it is, whatever he needed to carry with him, Tom Brady has carried a chip on his shoulder throughout his entire career. And now, even though he's called the GOAT and everybody says he's the greatest, he still plays and he still prepares and practices like he's being doubted, because, unfortunately, there are actually people still doubting him. Just this week, I've heard somebody on a show talk about how Tom Brady's arm looks like it's lost a lot of juice and how it's dead, but yet he's one of the top NFL quarterbacks this season in deep ball passing. So, the two really kind of don't jive. So that's the kind of thing that Tom Brady brings to the field here. And what was the rest of your question?
Okay, well, I was asking, what was your expectations of him when he landed in Tampa?
Yeah, that's right. So the expectations when he arrived, you kind of had that calm curiosity, because there's a lot of leaders on this team. You talked about JPP. Devin White was a guy that was going to emerge. Lavonte David has been here for a while. Fence has really kind of always been missing that leader by example. So Jameis Winston, an amazing charismatic character, amazing leader. You want to follow him, and trust me, when you're around him in person, when you meet him, when you talk to him, everything that he says, you just kind of want to believe it and you want to buy into it. And it's not that he's selling a bill of goods that he doesn't believe in himself, but at the end of the day, some of the production, especially the turnover, just didn't match the message that he was delivering. But as Tom Brady comes in, maybe a little bit less charismatic, right? Automatically, he kind of has that more of a steely-eyed leadership mentality than Jameis Winston does, with the excitement and the ability to get your blood going really fast. But what Tom Brady brings with him is proven production. That's really what everybody kind of expected him to bring to Tampa. And honestly, through the season, as we've gone through this first half of the season, that's what you see. And week to week, you can see other players and parts of this team getting better and better and better because of it, whether it's the penalties. You go back to earlier in the season, the penalties were a problem those first 3 or 4 weeks. But then as you go on, you see that in the fifth, sixth, seventh, the second quarter of the season, those penalties start to become less and less of a problem. And because of it, especially a unit like the offensive line starts to gel better, starts to play as a unit better, even though only one member of that offensive line is different than the offensive line Jameis Winston was playing with. So a little bit of the effect you see there. That's exactly what we've gotten now in the back half of the season. You're expecting this team to take another step or two. This New Orleans game is going to be a big measuring stick. Kansas City is going to be an even bigger measuring stick as you get into, again, the final stretch of the season into the playoffs.
I got to be lighthearted for a moment. You think Tom moved down to Florida because of no state income tax?
I mean, listen, he's got plenty of money, but you can't necessarily rule it out. I don't think he did it because of it, but you can't say that it wasn't at least on the list of perks, with moving down to Florida. But, he had a lot of reasons, and for one, he wanted to stay on the East Coast as much as possible. And I know Florida's obviously down south, but it's still in the eastern part of the country, so it's a little bit of an easier travel when he needs to go up to the New York or New England area.
All right, let's stay with Tom for a moment. There's a report that came out shortly after he signed with Tampa Bay that if Drew Brees had retired, he would have been interested in playing for Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. Give me your take on that report, because I know Bucks fans are probably like, oh, thank God that TB12 is with us, but actually, right before training camp and right before the season had started that there was a strong – that Tom Brady had a strong interest in playing for the New Orleans Saints if Drew Brees had retired. Just kind of give me your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, when Tom went out there looking for his new team or trying to consider what other teams he might want to play for, he was looking for winners. He was looking for a team that was going to help him and that he could come help get over the hump and get to that Lombardi Trophy. And that's what really this whole thing is about. He wasn't ever going to go to, you know, just for argument's sake, a New York Jets franchise or a Jacksonville Jaguars franchise. He wasn't interested in coming in and being the face of a franchise that, you know, was in a rebuilding process or just help him sell some tickets for a couple of years due to his name. He wanted to go to a place that he knew that the team was focused on winning, that the management, the general manager, head coach, and the ownership, honestly, too, was focused on winning because ownership has a lot to play with it, too. I mean, you look at some of these teams and you wonder why they have so much salary cap space when their roster isn't full of talent, and some of that's on ownership, you know. And the Buccaneers kind of fit the bill for all those things. And you heard about some other teams. I don't know, like the Titans were considered – or we're talking about being an area that he might consider going to, the Raiders, I think, at one point, the Chargers, another one. And you look at all those teams, and, I mean, some of them aren't necessarily, you know, up there in the standings, talent on those teams, and that's kind of what they all have in relation with each other. They all have that to deliver or to offer to a guy like Tom Brady, that they all have that winning platform for a quarterback to come in and execute off of. And you can't fault the guy for looking at the New Orleans Saints and thinking that's an attractive option. They've been a Super Bowl favorite for all this time, especially with Drew Brees, for a reason. So, and if you look at the New Orleans Saints 2020, honestly, if you plug Tom Brady in where Drew Brees is right now, given what's been going on with Drew Brees specifically, even with those injuries to Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, I think that the Saints probably look like a better contender than they do right now with Drew Brees. And that's no shade to Drew Brees, it just kind of is, you know, is what it is. Father Time is winning that battle with Drew a little bit better than it is with Tom.
All right, well, speaking of Drew, let's move along now to the next topic. The Bucs' next game is against the NFC South rival Saints. This is Brees-Brady Part 2. This is a grudge match. Brees won Round 1 in Week 1, and now this time this will take place in front of a Sunday night audience in Tampa, and again, the stakes are much higher. The teams are different. As you mentioned, the Saints are being consistent. Now, Drew is playing fairly well. You know, the arm strength is not what it once was, but he's still playing fairly well. Michael Thomas is expected to return for this game. Emmanuel Sanders is expected to return. He's been cleared off the COVID-19 list. Just give me your take on Bucs and Saints, or more importantly, Brady versus Brees, too.
I mean, it's two classic quarterbacks, you know what I mean? Two of the best to do it in their time, one of the best to do it, you know, all time, arguably, in Tom Brady, and then Drew Brees is right up there with them, and they're battling each other for that all-time touchdown pass record. And, you know, this game is going to, obviously, that record is going to be something that people are watching in this game, but then there's still plenty of season left to go to see who's going to finish 2020 on top of that list. But, you know, it's a good rivalry. You know, you've got the two NFC South teams that have Super Bowl wins under their belt. So as far as NFC South interdivisional rivalries go, I know the fan bases like to kind of throw that at each other. You know, Bucs and Saints fans like to talk to Panthers and Falcons fans and say, you know, you don't have a championship, we do, and all those things, even though the Yucks and the Aints kind of have the bigger history of being poor NFL franchises. So just kind of the ebbs and flows of everything. But really, at the end of the day, I mean, as much as Tom Brady and Drew Brees are going to be the storyline, they don't face each other. You know what I mean? When Drew Brees is on the field, Tom Brady's on the sideline. And vice versa. It's going to be Drew Brees against the Buccaneers defense, Tom Brady against that New Orleans Saints defense, and then who's going to come out on top of the division. Right now, you know, win for win, I mean, the Saints have already had their bye week, so that skews the numbers and the standings a little bit. But right now, the New Orleans Saints are the tiebreaker because they beat the Buccaneers in Week 1. If they beat the Buccaneers in Week 2, then that's a firm tiebreaker win they have over this team. And not only that, but they catch up in the win column while they stay one loss ahead of the Buccaneers in the loss column, who still haven't had their bye week yet. So that's a huge advantage, and I mean, on paper, it's going to look like a one-game advantage, but in reality, it's almost like a two-game advantage, because not only do the Buccaneers have to now match the Saints' record, they've actually got to exceed it because they lose that tiebreaker. Whereas if the Buccaneers win, now the tiebreaker goes to a different type of level, and it gets a little bit more complicated beyond that, but now the Buccaneers basically erase that tiebreaker advantage the Saints had over them, and they take another win, or they take another advantage in the win column while staying one game ahead in the loss column, and all those things are going to play into it. And again, it's still November, you know what I mean? So it's not necessarily the biggest stretch in the National Football League, but when you get towards the end of December and this thing gets really tight and the Buccaneers or the Saints have a one-game lead on the other or two-game lead on the other, this game is going to loom large looking ahead to those games.
Before we get into the keys to victory, we talked about Tom Brady, but Drew Brees has been probably – well, Drew Brees, in my opinion, is the greatest free agent, not just in the history of the NFL, but in the history of professional sports. Him and Sean Payton have been joined at the hip for 14 years now. Drew has been the model of consistency, of course, a Super Bowl winner. He's won a Super Bowl MVP, and he's done so much. I know Drew's arm strength is not there, but, David, just can you tell me what – qualities and what essentials does Drew Brees still bring to the New Orleans Saints franchise?
I mean, just his presence, his leadership, and then the cerebral ability he has to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And I think that's something that you can't overstate really for any NFL quarterback. And again, you kind of look back to recent examples, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is a young quarterback who physically has the ability to make all the reads. He has the ability to make all the throws on the field. Maybe not as consistently as you want him to, but as long as you have a quarterback that can make every throw on the field, you can work on getting him more consistent. Where Daniel Jones really struggled and what really stood out Monday night is in his decision-making ability and his mental processing as the play is developing. When things don't go well the way you thought they would by how the play was drawn up and your pre-snap reads, when those things fall apart, what do you do as a quarterback? That is what's going to make your team successful or not. That's what guys like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and especially Drew Brees do better than anybody else in their generation in the NFL right now. Maybe, you know, throw Pat Mahomes and Russell Wilson into that conversation too. You look at those guys, and everyone wants to talk about hand and arm that Patrick Mahomes has and the ability to throw the ball 50, 60 yards down the field, off balance, off platform, you know, and all that. And that's, don't get me wrong, it's all amazing. But at the end of the day, he can't throw the ball to the right place, even when it's an amazing throw, if he doesn't have that processing ability that guys like he and Drew Brees have. And that's what Drew Brees brings. It doesn't matter if Drew Brees can only throw the ball, you know, 15 yards from the line of scrimmage with any type of zip. It doesn't matter if he can't hit 40 yards down the field, you know, in an air completion. Because at the end of the day, what you do on the field, your 11 guys versus his 11 guys, when he sees what you're doing, he is going to find a hole in what you're trying to do. And he's going to find a receiver in that hole, and he's going to deliver the ball when he needs to, because that mental ability has not gone away, even though maybe the arm has.
All right, so now let's stay with the key. Let's go now to the keys to victory now for Tampa Bay. On defense, the Saints have some stalwarts on their team. They've got Cam Jordan. They've got also David Onyemata, and then we're followed by Malcolm Jenkins, and also Janoris Jenkins has played pretty well as of late. We can't forget about Marshawn Lattimore. And on the offensive side, of course, there's Drew Brees. Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are expected to return for this game, but they also have Alvin Kamara. What are going to be the keys to victory offensively and defensively for the Bucs if they want to beat the Saints?
So for the Buccaneers offense, it's going to be a matter of protecting Tom Brady. Last time these two teams played, Marcus Davenport wasn't part of the game, and you saw left tackle Donovan Smith get just completely owned by his backup. And that's not something any starting left tackle in the National Football League should ever want to put on record, put on tape, and that's something that Donovan Smith unfortunately put on tape in week one. Was getting dominated by a back. If he got worked by a backup, then what is the starter going to do? And that's exactly where I'm going to be looking on offense. What is Marcus Davenport going to be able to do against Donovan Smith? And then a little bit, Cameron Jordan versus Tristan Wirfs round two, because Tristan Wirfs absolutely stifled Cameron Jordan in the first week, in the first matchup of these two teams. Now, at the end of the day, it didn't matter, so I guarantee you Cameron Jordan didn't lose any sleep over it. But if Donovan Smith can raise his level of play up again, against a guy like Marcus Davenport and keep his quarterback clean on the left side, and Tristan Wirfs can stifle Cameron Jordan on the right side again, then Tom Brady's going to have time to stand in the pocket. He's going to have time to do exactly what we just talked about with Drew. He's going to be able to process what's going on in the field. He's going to be able to diagnose the defense and just pick them apart. So that's what I'm looking for from the Buccaneers offense, just protecting Brady, especially from those bookends at left and right tackle. For the defense, he's going to be playing disciplined, and that's where you go back to the question you asked me earlier about what I see in this defense. The youth and the athleticism is there, but that youth needs to be overshadowed by that athleticism. That comes down to discipline, because whether it's Michael Thomas, whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, Traquan Smith, Marcus Callaway, whoever it is that the New Orleans Saints have on the field, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill apparently can catch passes. If they allow themselves to get sloppy and play undisciplined defense, then again, Drew Brees is going to see that. He's going to take advantage of it. When you have guys that can take 5, 6 yards, 7 yards, 10-yard passes, 60, 70 yards down the field for a touchdown, it doesn't matter how strong your quarterback's arm is, because, again, he's going to find the right play against you, and he's going to make sure that he executes it.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So tell everybody about the Locked On Bucks podcast and what you do as a writer for Bucks Nation.
Absolutely, yeah, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for the invite. And, yeah, like you said, I cover the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for SB Nation over at BucksNation.com. And then I co-host the Locked On Bucks podcast, a daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, and then where can they find you on social media? And if you have a website, let them know that as well, whether it be pertaining to you or Locked On Bucks or Bucks Nation. Just give the listeners out there that information.
Yeah, so on Twitter at dharrison82, that's where you can find me talking football, talking Buccaneers specifically, or really any type of sporting event. I'll probably be watching it and talking about it. And then, yeah, bucksnation.com is the website for all the written work. Locked On Bucks is on any podcast platform. If you listen to podcasts, you can find the Locked On Bucks podcast. Just search Locked On Bucks, Buccaneers, Bucks. It doesn't matter. We'll come up.
You heard it from him. He is David Harrison. He is the co-host of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and he's a writer for Bucks Nation, which is SB Nation's blog dedicated to Tampa Bay Buccaneers content. David, thank you so much for being on. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
No problem, and we'll be back with more right after this.
First down and goal. Ends up being a 9-yard penalty. Brady throwing for Evans in his neighborhood. Got it. Touchdown. No player in the NFL has been targeted in the end zone more than Mike Evans.
If you love them enough to drive an hour to cheer them on as they get beat 11-0 in the rain, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Throw that ball, Diane. Woo! You got this.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. A big special thank you once again to David Harrison, the co-host of the Locked On Bucks podcast and writer for Bucks Nation, which is SB Nation's blog dedicated to Tampa Bay Buccaneers content. All right, Eric, let's do this. We've got an interesting game to start off for Week 9, one of the most important games. Let's start off with tonight's matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers, a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game. The 49ers, as I mentioned at the top of the program, hit with injuries. It's been an injury-riddled year for the Niners. And just recent, the latest news is that Kendrick Bourne, the wide receiver for the 49ers, tested positive for COVID-19. They shut down the practice facility in Santa Clara, where the 49ers practice at and where they play at. So, but nevertheless, tonight we've got a game on Thursday night. We've got the Packers and the 49ers. For the Packers, Aaron Jones is questionable. But they got the bad man, Eric, number 12, Aaron Rodgers. So a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, Green Bay and San Francisco. How do you like this one?
I liked it better when we heard about it week one. You know, it was a pretty very anticipated game because, you know, this was the NFC Championship. But now we fast forward to week 9, and it's definitely don't have the same sting it had when we first heard about the game due to the injuries and the COVID. But they still must play tonight, and anything could happen. I mean, you know, I didn't think Green Bay would get handled the way they did last week. And, you know, 49ers still have some good players. They got good coach. So anything could still happen, but definitely don't have the same sting as it had when we first heard about the game. But, still should be a pretty competitive game.
All right, Eric, the next game that we have is the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Indianapolis Colts. The Ravens lost a tough one to their AFC North rival Pittsburgh Steelers. Lamar Jackson was okay in the game. They got some help in the running department from Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards and, you know, so J.K. Dobbins. Defensively, Baltimore held their own, but they're going to be going up against a team that has one of the top defenses in the league with the Indianapolis Colts. They're running the ball well with Jonathan Taylor, the rookie out of Wisconsin. They also have Nyheim Hines. And how about Phillip Rivers? We talk about Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, but Phillip Rivers, he's found new life in Indianapolis. So, Eric, we got a good one between the Ravens and Colts. How do you like this one?
Then you got the New Baltimore versus Old Baltimore. This ought to be a good game. I mean, Colts have played very well, and the games that they have lost, they're very competitive in them and fought to the end. You know, Phillip Rivers, like you said, has a second life. He's playing well. This young rookie, Jonathan Taylor, is running very good. So I think they get T.Y. Hilton back this week. So they're going to have a lot more weapons and a lot more to do. This Ravens team coming off a loss, they're going to be dangerous. You know, Lamar Jackson playing well. J.K. Dobbins is playing real well. And with you know, Mark Ingram out, he's been running the football. So it's ought to be a good AFC battle here. Could be a playoff preview as well. Could be an AFC championship preview. Who knows how it's going to play out. But it's ought to be a really, really good game, and some good defense is going to be played here.
All right, Eric, the next game that we have is always an exciting game at Arrowhead Stadium between the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Carolina Panthers. Carolina coming off of a tough loss last Thursday night against the NFC South rival Atlanta Falcons. For the Kansas City Chiefs, the Chiefs are coming off of a big win over the New York Jets. I mean, that was no competition right there, but the Chiefs continue to hold supremacy, not just in the AFC West, but in the AFC in general. So we got Panthers and Chiefs. We've got Teddy Bridgewater going up against Patrick Mahomes, but Christian McCaffrey is expected to return for this game. Interesting storyline in that one. So Panthers and Chiefs, how do you like this one?
Hey, don't sleep on the Panthers. They're a good team. They're almost like the Colts that I just mentioned a little while ago. They're competitive in all the games, even the games they lost. Christian McCaffrey coming back is definitely going to be a boost for that team. You know, they're going to, Arrowhead. So Chiefs are top team in the league. But they better not come in this game taking Carolina lightly, because Carolina's a good team. You know, Bridgewater got that team playing well. And like you say, Christian McCaffrey coming back. Team is definitely on its way up. So, and to make a lot of noise, beat the Chiefs this week at home, at Chiefs home stadium. So, yes, we're going to see how this is going to play out.
Okay, and speaking of seeing how things play out, the next game that we have is the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Buffalo Bills. First of all, Russell Wilson has played lights out. Right now, he is the leading candidate to win the league. To win the league MVP. So the Seahawks coming off of a good win, a tough win over division rival San Francisco 49ers. They're going to have to travel to one of the top places in the league, and that's Buffalo, and to play the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has been on top of his game. The Bills are playing very well right now. They're running the ball well. They got Stephon Diggs. They've got Cole Beasley, John Brown, and of course, defensively, they're playing well. So we've got Russell Wilson. We've got Josh Allen. We got Seattle and Buffalo. How do you like this one?
I mean, this could potentially be maybe a Super Bowl preview. Who knows? You know, Seattle and Buffalo. And I think that would be a nice Super Bowl. But, yeah, Russell Wilson playing MVP form. He probably will win MVP. But going against this stingy defense of the Bills, man, they're really good on defense. Offensively, they move the ball. You know, Josh Allen is definitely a dual threat. And I have a little bit more to say about him a little later on in the fantasy picks for the week, but I think he's gonna be effective in this game. In Seattle, you know, almost like the Chiefs, don't go into this game thinking you're gonna run through Buffalo. I mean, they're a good team, competitive team. They've won a lot of games and look dominant in some of them. So definitely gonna see how this plays out. Two good quarterbacks dueling out. So might come down who has the ball last.
All right, Eric, Pittsburgh and Dallas, Steelers and the Cowboys. We know this rivalry goes back to the 70s with the Super Bowls and the great games they've put on from the Steel Curtain, America's team, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, and Tony Dorsett and Franco Harris, and the list goes on and on and on. Well, now we've got, let's just say two teams that have great franchises, great histories. Pittsburgh is continuing the legacy. Dallas, right now, is playing like a shell of their former selves. We don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. We know that Andy Dalton most likely won't play. He's on the reserve COVID-19 list. We don't know if Ben DiNucci is going to get the start or Kellen Moore may get the start. We don't know what's going to happen. But Steelers, Cowboys, Pittsburgh's played very well. Ben Roethlisberger, a candidate for comeback player of the year. James Conner's running the ball. They're playing great defense. So, Eric, Steelers and Cowboys at Jerry World. How do you like this one?
Almost like the Green Bay 49ers game. It looked very good early in the year, but now, I mean, Cowboys are not a good team. They're going on their third quarterback this year, you know, and, you know, Andy Dalton's going to be out. Of course, you've seen what happened with Dak Prescott. Ezekiel Elliott hasn't went over 100 yards rushing in the game yet this season, and he's going up against a really good Steelers defense, so definitely going to be interesting to see how Ezekiel pays out in this game. And I don't think he's going to do too well down the stretch because I don't think that Cowboys are going to be too competitive. They're going to a lot of games and get away from them, and they're probably going to rely on throwing because they're going to be down by so much. But Pittsburgh, man, they're playing really good. If anybody could shock the NFL world and get to the Super Bowl in the AFC besides everybody who's saying Chief, look out for Pittsburgh. They could definitely beat anybody on any given Sunday. So I don't think it's going to be a problem for them against the Cowboys. The Cowboys just, man, their world's rocked. You know, Dak Prescott, when he went down, I think that whole team went down. So, but I don't think it's too competitive. I see the Steelers just running away with it.
All right, Eric, the next game that we have is the future of the NFL at the quarterback position with the Miami Dolphins going to the desert to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Tua Tagovailoa and Kyler Murray, these two play well. We've only seen Tua play in one game thus far, so we got a little sample size. We got the appetizer. We didn't get the main course as of yet, but Kyler Murray, oh, man. Only in his second year in the league, he has been playing lights out. If they need him to pass the ball, he can get it done. If they need him to run, he can do that as well. And Arizona's playing defense very nicely. And Miami's played well. I mean, Tua's only played in one game, but this should be a fun one. Dolphins and Cardinals, how do you like this one?
Both these teams are almost mirror image. I mean, they both rely on play action. They both love to run the football. They also love to move the pocket, you know, with their quarterbacks, which means get their quarterback out the pocket, outside and make throws. And both quarterbacks are capable of tucking the ball and running, and both quarterbacks seem like they can make any throw on the field. And defensively, they both struggle a little bit on defense, but at times the defense looks like they play well. So, yeah, like I said, these are almost mirror image teams here. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised to see these two meeting in the Super Bowl down the road. I don't see it happening this year, most likely not next year. The next couple of years, I mean, both these teams could be Super Bowl contenders because they went out and got the right quarterback. But we know what Murray's doing. We only got one game or two. We're not sure. But we've seen what he did in college. We've seen what he did in his first start. And I just think he can just get better. He's got to put weapons around him, just like they did with, you know, Murray. They went and got DeAndre Hopkins, which was a big pickup. So I like where this game's going. This is going to be a fun game.
Sunday night, Eric. New Orleans and Tampa Bay. Drew Brees and Tom Brady, two future first ballot Hall of Famers. These two have racked up so many titles and so many accomplishments. And while everybody's focused on the quarterbacks, because it is a quarterback league, but we can't forget about the gentleman you mentioned at the top of the show, Alvin Kamara, playing lights out. Now, Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are expected to come back, but defensively the Saints have been balling as of recent with Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, David Onyemata, Marshawn Lattimore, and the rest of the crew. And as for Tampa Bay, they've played well as well. They're running the ball well. Gronk is finally getting it together. Mike Evans, and also we've got a friend by the name of Antonio Brown. AB is coming back. So it was Sunday night, Eric, NFC South. Saints and Bucks, Breeze versus Brady 2. How do you like this one?
Yeah, this game actually is the opposite of what I thought about, you know, with the Packers 49ers game. I was excited about this game when I seen it. I'm more excited about it now. I mean, you got Antonio Brown tossed in there. Now you got Kawhi Alexander maybe tossed in the mix, you know, against his former team who drafted him. So, and Brady and Breeze both, you know, playing well. They both seem pretty healthy. They both seem like they could play another 10 years. But the only knock against Breeze, and I hate to say it, is that he's throwing deep, man. It just don't seem like it's there. Maybe we just don't have that deep threat like, you know, the Brandon Cooks or Ted Ginn. I don't know, but he's still playing good, though. He's completing passes. He's scoring touchdowns. He's only got 3 interceptions through the whole season. He is playing well. We're just missing that deep ball, and maybe because of the receivers that we have, maybe when Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders come back, we'll get that back. We'll see. But, you know, Tom Brady's throwing well. He's throwing all over the field. Their defense is stepping up. Seems like their defense is getting better and better. Then you add Antonio Brown to the mix. You got the makings of game of the week possibly right here. So, yeah, this is going to be a good game on Sunday night.
Well, Eric, we transitioned from Sunday night to Monday night. Last week we saw the New York Giants and Daniel Jones showcased on a Monday night, and let's just say we saw a team that's a shell of their former selves and having troubles at quarterback, and we're going to see another team, another New York team, having quarterback problems of their own. The New York Jets, they will host the New England Patriots on Monday night. The Jets, Sam Darnold, we don't know what's going to happen with him at the end of the year. The Jets are basically are in the Trevor Lawrence or the Justin Fields sweepstakes. So the Jets are just trying to play to stay alive, to get a good draft pick. They could be the number one, could get the number one overall pick. As for the New England Patriots, Cam Newton not playing well as of late. The trade deadline came. They didn't deal Stephon Gilmore. So, you know, Coach Bill Belichick saying in the week that salary cap has hurt them. They haven't been able to get the kind of players that they want. It's been a difficult year for them. So Monday night, Eric, in the Meadowlands in New Jersey, Patriots and Jets. How do you like this one?
Not really excited about it. I mean, New England's struggling, but I think they're not a bad team. My opinion, the Jets, they're just horrible. And I don't think Sam Darnold's the problem. I think if I'm Trevor Lawrence and you find out most definitely that the Jets have the number one overall pick in the draft, I don't come out. I stay at Clemson. You can't Jets, man, they've run so many quarterbacks. I mean, Mark Sanchez, who else we got? Geno Smith, Chad Pennington, and of course you look here at Sam Darnold. Like I said, times he looks good. Scrambled for a touchdown a few weeks back. Oh, great run. Seemed like he could throw all the throws that needed to be thrown, the passes, the ends, the outs, the deep. So I just think they need to put talent around him. But is he in plans for the future? I don't know. But I know is before they go drafting a top quarterback like a Trevor Lawrence, they need to put some more talent on that team, because I don't care who they draft. I don't care if Tom Brady's playing for them. They just don't have the talent around them. They went and spent all this money on Le'Veon Bell last year for no reason, and I said it was a bad sign from the get-go, and look, he's not even there no more. So, wow, they got a lot of work to do there with the Jets. And New England, too, they needed a little more work. I think Cam Newton is the answer. I say you sign him to maybe a 3-year contract, let him play a little longer and put some talent around him. I like Damon Harris at running back. I think he's a really good running back, so – this might be a better game than we think, but I don't know. Jets, they don't look good at all. So we're going to see. We'll find out on Monday night.
Speaking of Jets quarterbacks, man, Pennington wasn't bad. Pennington and Vinny Testaverde, they weren't bad.
Yeah, but they didn't get nothing accomplished. I mean, all these quarterbacks, Pennington didn't really do too much at all. He had a couple of good seasons. Testaverde was pretty good, got him to the playoff a few times, but – that's just like any other quarterback. Just like Mark Sanchez, got him to 2 AFC championship games back-to-back, but never got to the Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden, here comes the butt fumble. Geno Smith did nothing, really. It's just almost like Marino with Miami. Ever since Joe Namath with the Jets, it just seemed like they never really found that quarterback. You know, they even brought Brett Favre in, you know, for a year. But I just think it's a lot more than just quarterback over there. I like Sam Darnold over there. I think he is the man there. They just need to put more weapons around him, maybe shore up that offensive line a little bit, protect him some more, and give him some weapons, and I think you'll see a better team.
Hopefully the Jets will improve their poor performance on Monday night against the Patriots. All right, that's me and Eric discussing the most important games for Week 9 in the NFL. All right, now it's time for our next segment, which is our games of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Buffalo Bills. Man, these two teams have been exciting this year. Seattle has been exciting since the Russell Wilson era, particularly Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom. The Legion of Boom is no more, but guess what? Russell Wilson is still there. And not just Russell Wilson, that offense has been exciting with wide receivers such as Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. The tight ends are good as well. We can't forget about wide receiver David Moore. And the tight ends have been exciting as well with Will Disley and Greg Olsen. Running backs are nice, Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson. Defensively, they are solid, but they're going to be going up against a team that is poised to possibly, as Eric said earlier, could play in the Super Bowl in the next few years, the Buffalo Bills, quarterback Josh Allen. Josh Allen is one of the premier rising stars in the league, and he's got a good supporting cast with him with Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, John Brown. Also, he's got Devin Singletary running the ball well. They can play defense well with the likes of Ed Oliver. And, of course, they have Tre'Davious White. So Buffalo's defense is solid, and they're playing in one of the best atmospheres, one of the best stadiums in the NFL. Not in Buffalo, I stand corrected. They play in Orchard Park, which is right outside of Buffalo. But, you know, Bills fans are diehard. They're excited. And Seattle and Buffalo, they have some of the premier diehard fan bases in the NFL. We got the Seahawks. We got Bills. Seattle and Buffalo. It doesn't get any better than this. Seattle and Buffalo, my game of the week.
Well, my game of the week, I'm going to go right there in the AFC, the game we talked about earlier, Baltimore Ravens versus Indianapolis Colts. You know, new Baltimore versus old Baltimore. I just like this game, man. I think you're going to have some good running in this game, you know, with Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, two young running backs who I think got bright futures. Then, of course, you got Lamar Jackson. You got Hollywood Brown. I think he's going to have a pretty decent game as well. And, you know, Phillip Rivers playing really well, and both of these teams' defenses are playing really well. So I really like this game. Like I said, this could be a playoff preview. Could this be Phillip Rivers' last run in the NFL after this season? Will the Colts resign him? Will anybody pick up Phillip Rivers? We don't know. So anytime I get to see a good game with Phillip Rivers, I try to watch him. I try to catch him because, you know, how much longer we got to watch him, you know, such a great player. But it's always fun watching Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, this is definitely going to be a really good game. And like I said, it could be a playoff preview, maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. But right now, it almost feels like a playoff game because of the seeding. You know, both these teams need to keep winning, make the playoffs, and maybe get one of them good seeds, maybe try to get a home game, you know. So definitely going to be a really good game. So, yeah, that's my game of the week.
All right, and that was me and Eric with our games of the week. You know, Eric, he just brings it with the fantasy football. He's been doing it at the beginning of the season and in the midpoint of the season now. He's continuing to bring it. So now here's Eric with his top 10 fantasy players to watch out for in Week 9.
Yeah, this is my top 10 fantasy players. It's getting a little difficult now to every week come up with some good players due to bye weeks and COVID and injuries. It's been a real weird season. But I got a 10 players here that I'm going to throw out there, and I'm going to start off with a running back I mentioned a little while ago. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor versus the Ravens defense. I think his running style is going to give him problems. I mean, he could cut on a dime, and he has good vision. And also, I think, you know, Pittsburgh might try to bring the house a few times, hit Taylor for a screen. I mean, he could possibly take it the distance. So definitely go with Jonathan Taylor this week. If you do have him in your lineup, keep him in there, because I think he's gonna give some good points this week. Again, even though this Ravens defense is good, I just think Jonathan Taylor's going to have enough touches to make a difference. And I'm going to go with a tight end here for my number two fantasy. I'm going to go Travis Kelce. So many tight ends on a bye. So many tight ends hurt right now. So if you have Travis Kelce, it's a no-brainer. I have Travis Kelce in my fantasy league, and I start him every week and been reaping the rewards for it. So keep him in there. Keep running with him. You know, Travis Kelce is the truth, and always putting up some numbers. So definitely stay with Travis Kelce. And I'm going to jump back to three here with Tyler Lockett. I think he's going to have a really good game against this Bills defense. One thing about the Bills, they do give up the long ball a lot. And I see it happening with Tyler Lockett. He's a little sneaky dude, man. If you don't keep your eye on him, he's almost like Darren Sproles at receiver. I mean, he's small, but, man, is he quick and great hands to be that size. And he's definitely going to be a factor in this game. But number four, I'm going quarterback Josh Allen versus the Seahawks defense. I think he's going to hurt him more maybe with his legs. I think he's going to over-pursue a lot. He's going to find some spots, scramble, pick up some yardage. I think goal line, they're going to be more effective once they get, you know, inside the 20. Definitely watch out because they always seem to be cashing in when they get inside the red zone. So watch Josh Allen this week. And people might think I'm crazy right now, but I'm going to say my number five, CeeDee Lamb versus the Pittsburgh's defense. Listen, Cowboys have nothing to lose. And out of the receivers, I feel like Pittsburgh's going to focalize most on Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, I think, as well. So I think CeeDee Lamb's going to be the odd man out in there. They're going to trust their cornerbacks to do one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb. I think it's going to hurt them. I think one-on-one is going to be a mistake. He's quick, fast, good hands, runs great routes. The only issue is the quarterback issue. But if you are a quarterback for the Cowboys this week or any week and you see double teaming all over the field and one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb, where are you going to go with the ball? One-on-one. So, and I think CeeDee Lamb's going to win a lot of those battles. So I think CeeDee Lamb. And we talked about this quarterback earlier, Kyler Murray, against this Dolphins defense. Man, I just think he's having a really good year, man. I think if Russell Wilson wasn't having a great year he's having, I think Kyler Murray's name would have been thrown around a little bit more for MVP as well. I think he's having that kind of year, man. He's playing really well. Got a new weapon that he is really taking advantage of. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is having a great year. And Kyler Murray's reeking for that too, and I like what I see with him. You know, the decision-making, the audibles, scrambling and being smart. He scrambles, but he's smart. You don't see him take big hits. Why? Because he's quick, and if he feels like he's about to get hit, he slides. He don't take no chances, or he gets out of bounds. And you can run like that your whole career if you're smart about it. And my seventh fantasy player here, I'm going to go Jared Cook against this Tampa Bay defense. I think they're going to get him a lot in the red zone, and I think the Saints are going to move the ball. Jared Cook in the end zone. I see Jared Cook coming up with maybe two touchdowns in this game. I think he's going to have a good game. And he showed up the last few weeks. He's going to show up again this week. So, Jared Cook, leave him in your lineup. And I'm going to stick with this game. And I'm going to go Antonio Brown versus Saints defense. I just think he's coming into this game, and I think the Saints don't know what he's going to do. You know, is he going to get 10 plays, 15 plays, 20 plays, 25 plays? We don't know. But I guarantee you, whatever ball he does catch, it's going to be beyond 10 yards. And if he has four receptions, averaging 10 yards a reception, that's 40 points. And if he sneaks into the end zone somehow, that's 10 points right there, double-digit points for a receiver's first game of the season. That's pretty good. So if you got some bye weeks and people thinking that Antonio Brown's not going to do it and you see him as a free agent, pick up Antonio Brown, replace him with a bye week player that's on a bye week, and you're going to see – I think you're going to see some good stuff. Look, Tom Brady sees him on the field. You think Tom Brady's not going to look his way? Oh, yeah. What happened is one game with Tom Brady in New England, he had a touchdown in his only game with Tom Brady in New England. He's going to do it again against the Saints. I see him getting in the end zone this week. And I'm going to go it's hard to really go on this Monday night, so I'm going to go my last two to battle the quarterbacks. I'm going to go Cam Newton at number nine. I think he's going to slice and dice this Jets defense. He's going to run on them looking like Earl Campbell. I promise you, he's going to run a touchdown. He's going to throw a touchdown. I also think he's going to throw an interception. But I still think he's got enough play here for anybody who has some players injured. If you have Garoppolo or somebody on a bye, and you see Cam, pick him up, start him this week. Watch him on Monday night. He's going to give you some productive points. And I'm going to stay at number 10 with his opponent, Sam Darnold. I think, Crowder's going to get open. I think he's going to be back playing well. And I think Darnold might do a little damage with his legs in here as well. I don't think he's going to be no Earl Campbell, but I think he could run for a touchdown in the red zone, and he could throw. They do have some type of weapons. They just don't have the big name weapons, which they need to do. But the biggest deal is protecting Sam Darnold. They got to protect him, and they haven't been doing it lately. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with this team. You got to, if you protect Sam Darnold, I think you'll see a lot more productive plays. So, but I think he's going to give the Patriots a little problems on Monday night. I don't think they're going to win by far, but I think Sam Darnold's going to play pretty well. And if you need someone to put in due to bye weeks and corona and injuries, go with Sam Darnold as well. I think he'll give you some production. And that's my 10 fantasies, players for the week.
Eric, I got to ask you about Sam Darnold. Do you really think that he's going to put up some big numbers against that Patriot defense?
I think he's going to put up enough numbers. Like I said, you know, these are just players for fantasy reasons. And, like, you know, if you got Jimmy Garoppolo who's injured, or you got, you know, players who's on a bye, or any player like, you know, Matthew Stafford, he's got to stay away for 5 days due to the corona. What if he don't play on Sunday? And you need to put in a quarterback. And if you see our Cam Newton or Sam Darnold, who you just mentioned, you got to put somebody in. You got to plug somebody in there. You can't leave Matthew Stafford or Jimmy Garoppolo in. So I'm saying this week, I really believe Sam Darnold's going to put up enough points. And what I mean by enough points, I got a scoring scale with quarterbacks. Every quarterback should at least give you between 15 to 22 points a game. They should give it to you. And I think he'll be in the middle. I think he'll give you 18 points. Hey, that's strong points, you know, despite not having Garoppolo, not having Stafford, players who aren't in right now. You put in Sam Darnold, he gives you 18 points on Monday night. I think that's pretty good production. And that might, you might be down by 12. Look at this, you win by 6. You know, anything's possible. So I think he's going to play pretty well. And I do one more thing. I do notice when he plays on Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, which isn't that often, but he's done it pretty well. He plays pretty good. So I like what he might bring to the table on Monday night. I guess I don't think they're going to win. I don't think the Jets are going to win. Not saying this and the Jets might blow him out. I don't know. But I like what Sam Darnold brings to the table. And you've seen, you know, New England, they've been having a little trouble on defense. So we want to see. It's interesting. Makes the game interesting. Let's watch on Monday night and see if I'm right or wrong. But I'll be watching regardless, man. You know, it's football, Monday night football. No other place I'd rather be.
Speaking of night games, Eric, real quickly, Sunday night, A.B., Antonio Brown, him and Tom Brady are going to hook up once again. You think A.B. is going to be in? You mentioned about A.B. putting up some nice numbers. You really think he's in for a monster game against that Saints secondary with Marshawn Lattimore and Malcolm Jenkins and also C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the secondary?
I wouldn't say a monster game, but I will say a productive game. I mean, if he gets in there and he gets 14 snaps or 15 snaps and he catches 5 balls for 80 yards, I mean, that's 8 points right there. Or they're going to go deep to him a few times, I promise you. If he's playing, which he is, he's playing. If he gets on the field, it ain't going to be a decoy. Brady's going to tell him, you know, look, you don't know, you may not know this whole playbook, but I tell you what, stop and go. Look, I'm going to pump fake you at 5, go deep. And I think he's such a good receiver that he's probably going to win some of those battles. So I'm just saying, with the bye weeks and injuries and the corona and people looking to start players right now, Antonio Brown's a free agent. Give him a shot because, like I say, he ain't just gone there to stand around. He went to practice today, and Tom Brady already connected with him in New England in one game, and he didn't even know that playbook. He's played with Bruce Arians before in the past, and I believe in Pittsburgh they played. He was at Pittsburgh with him, so he knows. And yeah, he's going to produce. I promise you, he's going to play some snaps and he's going to get some targets.
All right, and that was Eric giving us his analysis, as always, for the top 10 fantasy players to watch out for in Week 9. All right, before we close out the show, let's predict this week's winners. Tonight's game, Green Bay and San Francisco. It's a no-brainer. I like Green Bay to beat the 49ers. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a monster game. I like the Indianapolis Colts to beat the Baltimore Ravens. I've got Kansas City beating Carolina. I think the Seahawks will beat the Bills. I like the Steelers to beat the Cowboys. Close game out in the desert. I like Arizona to beat the Miami Dolphins. Close game on Sunday night between the Saints and the Bucks. I like Tampa Bay to win. And on Monday night, I like New England to beat the New York Jets.
We come close on some games, but I agree with the Packers. I got the Packers winning, but I got the Ravens over the Colts. I agree with you with the Chiefs. I think Buffalo's going to beat Seattle. I disagree. I think Buffalo's going to beat Seattle. Seattle's going to get a little rude awakening, and they might need that, you know. I agree with you with the Steelers over the Cowboys. I agree with the Cardinals over the Dolphins. I got to go with the Saints against the Bucks, not just because I'm a hometown. I just think the Saints are playing good football right now. They won 4 in a row. We're getting players back. We're playing good without Michael Thomas, without Emmanuel Sanders, and they're back. And also you put Kiwan Alexander on defense. Man, that's a big upgrade. So, yeah, I got the Saints over the Bucks, and, of course, I got New England taking the Jets. But I think still might be an okay game, but I just think New England's just going to be too much.
All right, and those are me and Eric's picks for Week 9's most important games. All right, Eric, before we close out the show, I want to ask you about Tua. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that was one of my storylines, that the Miami Dolphins – since Dan Marino, they're still looking for that quarterback. They're looking for that missing piece at that position. Is Tua the right one, or is the jury still out on him?
The jury's still out, no doubt. An old saying I've heard when I was a kid, just because you painted one picture don't make you a poet. You got to paint multiple pictures. You got to do some Bob Ross out there. You got to put some paint on the canvas and paint hundreds of pictures, and you could say, yeah, he's it. He looked good. He didn't throw for a lot of yards, but he didn't turn the ball over. He looked good. So we just got to see, you know, he just got to step his game up, keep doing better, keep moving forward, keep getting better, keep working on everything, even the stuff he does good, work on that. So going in the right direction. So just put players around him, and we'll know probably in the next year, probably next season, we'll definitely know if he's the real deal.
Eric, anything else we need to look out for in Week 9 before we head on out?
Just hopefully these injuries stop, man. It seems like we keep knocking that on the head every week, and they keep occurring. So hopefully we can go through this season and not lose – go through this week and not lose any premier players or any players at that at all. So – and hopefully we don't get no too many more cases. Hopefully some people start getting healthy and start feeling a little bit normal with football again. So, but it should be a great week of football. Got some good games coming up. Got a good game tonight. So I'll be tuning in all week.
Rightfully so, and that's going to wrap it up for another exciting edition of NFL Wrap-Up. A big special thank you to David Harrison, co-host of the Locked On Bucks podcast and writer for Bucks Nation, which is SB Nation's blog dedicated to Tampa Bay Buccaneers content. For Eric Habersreitinger, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and we'll talk to you again next week right here on the NFL Wrap-Up. So long, everyone.